Blog Talk Radio.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down every plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back this country from the hand of the enemy.
Let the church unite.
Get up, stand up and fight.
Well, good afternoon, and praise God from whom all our blessings flow. And glory be to the God of all the wonderful, awesome, positive, and amazing blessings He has received and given to us. Thank you so much. I pray that you had a joyful, productive, and blessed weekend. Today is Monday, August the 10th, 2015. And you have turned into our blog talk radio program entitled Come Together for Change. It is sponsored by our God-ordained and appointed ministries, which are Men in Search of Change and HWG Outreach Center for Change International. Now, our program is geared towards helping you make the necessary changes you need to accomplish your goals and your God-given destiny through understanding the change process in order to be victorious in all that you do for God. Just know that God says high, He looks low, and He will take care of those who are obedient to His holy word. Amen. Did you know that you can handle whatever comes your way in life? God has equipped you and empowered you to fulfill many successful things. So be bold and be strong and let your faith in God go before you in this journey so that you will become everything God has created you to be. God wants to exceed your expectations. He has amazing things stored up for you. He wants to take you places that you have never dreamed and do things in your life that you have never imagined. His glory is rising upon His people. Things are going to fall into place so that you can accomplish what God has placed in your heart. Even the hidden dreams, He is going to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all that you could ask, think, or imagine. Now is the time to rise and shine in God. Hallelujah. My name is Senior Chaplain Shalia Griffith. I am your co-host together with my anointed and amazing husband, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, the host of our dynamic radio broadcast, Come Together for Change. Now, before you grab your Bible and your pen and your notepad, why don't you do something very special and bless the ones that mean the most to you by calling them up and letting them know that Come Together for Change is on the air in the blessed air of Las Vegas right now. All they have to do is call 646-200-0578. All right? Now, we surely don't want them to miss this anointed word of God today. And if perhaps you are just turning in late to our radio broadcast, or you missed any of our previous messages, you may simply log into our website at www.meninsearchofchange. Click on the topic, Come Together for a Change. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and click on any date you wish to hear the entire broadcast. Amen. Our inspiration for this week. Have you ever imagined God laughing in the heavens? Think about it for a moment. Right now, God is on the throne. He's not mad. He's not worried about the economy. He's not upset with you and me. God is full of joy and laughing on the throne. It goes on to tell us in Psalms 37 that he's laughing because he could see the destruction of the enemy coming. In other words, the reason God laughs is because he knows the end of the story. He knows the final outcome. The good news is that you and I win. Amen. God always causes us to triumph. God wants to give you a breakthrough, a sudden burst of his favor, an explosion of his goodness. He wants to release his power in such a way that it overwhelms you and drives out your enemies. Hallelujah. No matter what you've been facing, no matter how impossible things look, know this. The God of the breakthrough wants to visit your house. So get ready. Look for his favor and goodness. Remember, God rewards the people who seek after him. So keep expecting. Keep believing, because God of the breakthrough is ready to overwhelm you with his goodness today. Amen. Our topic for this week is the family. The family. At this time, it gives me a great pleasure and it gives me an honor to introduce to some and to present to others the host of Come Together for Change, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith.
Thank you very much, Shalia. It's a wonderful privilege of mine to be on the air this afternoon. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's our Savior. He's the one who brought us out of difficulty and has brought us into an understanding of purpose. And when we understand purpose, we will understand the family. And today I want to talk for a little while on the family. And it is important to know that God is looking forward to us working together in the understanding and in the development of the family. Now, the family is very important. When God made Adam and Eve, it was his purpose to develop a family that they would be able to show his love and purpose on the earth. And that was what God intended. But that did not happen. And therefore, God had to make another plan. And we see that this other plan was in Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. Now, it's important that when we understand of the family or the working of the family, we understand how God works for us. Now, we are definitely looking forward to understanding how God works through the family. Now, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 16, we're going to see how God works. In verse 16, it says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from the heaven and said, by Moses, by myself, I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants. So the stars of the heavens, and as the sun which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Now, this is an interesting article. It is an article that tells us that God had tested Abraham. And after he had tested Abraham, he sent an angel to give Abraham a promise that in the seeds that his seed shall be blessed as the seed of the earth. And Abraham was definitely a blessed man. And God promised to work through him that the seed of that his seed shall be like the seed of the earth. His seed shall be blessed. And sometimes we don't understand how God works and how God does things. But God has a way of doing things that will bring the family together. Here was this family. And here was God speaking to Abraham. Abraham had just made one of the most significant covenants with the Lord. God had said to him, "Take your only son and carry him up and offer him up as a sacrifice." And Abraham recognized the importance of obedience. Now, as a family, we have to learn to be obedient. And that's the first thing that we are taught in the commandments, to be obedient to the Lord, to be obedient to the things that God would say to us. And we see that the obedience was very important because when God gave the Ten Commandments, he was very specific about being obedient. And therefore, when God spoke to Abraham and told him to offer up his son, Abraham was very obedient. He did not matter. It did not matter what happened. He was obedient to the voice of the Lord. And therefore, we have to learn to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. As a family, our first thing should be to bless the Lord every day, to bless the Lord every morning together as a family. And it was important that we understand that. And very often we do not understand what God is saying to us, and we miss the things that are important. As a family, the first thing that we need to do is to be obedient. Obedience is very important. When we learn to be obedient to the voice of God, God is going to come down and bless us. But when we are not obedient, God cannot bless us. God will bless us as long as we are obedient. Are you obedient? Are you and your family? The leader of the children of Israel who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Can you say that today? As for you and your house, we will serve the Lord. Because if you cannot say that, you are going to miss what God is saying to you. Because in the Ten Commandments, we hear God saying to Moses, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, honoring your parents is the first thing that you need to be obedient to as a family. As a family, your children need to be obedient to you. But today we find that children are not obedient to parents. Today we find that the children do not understand the importance of following what God says to them. We see that today the devil have a root of disobedience in the lives of children. And it is important that we understand that the first thing that we need to be obedient to, we must teach our children to follow and be obedient. We must teach our children to understand what God is saying. Then the second thing we need to do is, as parents, we need to be able to look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way which he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So we need to train our children. If you do not train them, then they will go astray. The devil will be able to inculcate all kinds of evil thoughts in their minds. The devil will be able to come and sort of bring all kind of evil thoughts. But when you train up a child in the way he should go, he will follow. He will be able to understand. He will be able to know that God is with him in every situation. And therefore, it's important to train up a child in the way he should go. And then in the same Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16, it says, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now you say, well, that is strange, because the Lord does not allow us to lash our children. But here, the word is very explicit. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Therefore, if foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, we need to be able to get that foolishness out of the heart of children at an early age. And sometimes we say, well, oh, he don't really mean it. That's just the way he is, right? But the word says, the rod of correction. Sometimes we have to correct our children by beating them. Sometimes we have to correct our children by striking them. And we have to understand what the word says. The word in verse 13 of Proverbs 23 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. So now you have children, and they're very evil, they're very wicked. They've got some ideas in their minds that you can't understand where they got them from. And that's why you need to be able to beat these children. You need not to withhold correction, because the rod of correction will bring them into an understanding of purpose. Sometimes children are going in the wrong direction, and they need to be brought in a way that will help them. So it's important that we understand that children must be corrected. As a family, we have to work together to make sure that every branch of the family, the mother, the father, the children, are all working together to make it go. You know, it's very important. So therefore, you've got to be able to see the importance of correction. Are you correcting your children? Or are you allowing them to say what they feel like saying, go where they feel like going? Do you know who are the friends of your children? Do you know what they are doing? Do you know where they are going? Oh, come on now. You have got to be able to make a difference. If you're going to make a difference in the family, you've got to be able to really do something about it. Today I've got with me on the line Chaplain Johnson, who is, if those of you who are on our Friday night prayer line, you will know that he is one of the strong prayer warriors, and I'm going to let him say a few words. Chaplain Johnson.
Praise the Lord. Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we online?
Yes, we are. Go right ahead, please.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't have my radio on, so I can't hear myself. So so I'm speaking to you from the goodness of my heart, which God has opened up to this program. And what you were saying, Chaplain Hudson, I agree with 100%. We definitely need to have more control over our children's lives for their sake. as well as our sake. But we need to pray for them as well and teach them more about praying. We know that in the school system, they tell us that we are the first teachers of our children, that we teach them to everything first, and we set examples for them first, so they see what's going on first from us. But also in the school system, they're not reiterating what it is that we're teaching. They're not reinforcing our teachings to our children, and they're exposing them. The school system in America is exposing our children to a life of wrong thinking, wrongdoing, of depravity, iniquity, and a sinful lifestyle. So it's not just the fact that we need to discipline our children. We need a community-wide discipline system which mandates a child's learning to what the basic information is, because the media is feeding them constantly negativity. And if we're preaching to them and teaching them from the Word as true believers should, then we don't have any reinforcement when it comes to the school. Nothing that we have taught our children is carried forth in the school. Ever since the 70s when the Supreme Court took prayer out of school. When they took prayer out of school, they increased a moral depravity among the generations from henceforth, and forgetting about the fact that those people that now are coming through the school without the prayer basis are the people that we're dependent on for our future. We have no future without our children. And if we have children who are no longer morally grounded or morally intact with the word that we were raised with, or with the word that we can instill in them, then our future is in jeopardy. I say our future is in jeopardy because we have no foundation for a future. Anytime that our children can be allowed to come to school and date each other in the same sex but cannot bring a Bible to school, they can see Sally and Jill together holding hands and kissing, but they cannot learn the word of the Lord together. There's no moral there. The moral depravity that is being taught in our school is harming our children to a great degree, a greater degree, than the lack of discipline. This is what I'm saying to you today, because this is what we're seeing. Ever since school prayer was abolished, you saw an increase in school violence. You saw an increase in teen pregnancy. You saw an increase in teen STDs. You saw an increase in teen violence. You saw an increase and violence in the homes perpetrated by teens. You saw all sorts of crimes perpetrated by teens that were never perpetrated in the past because of the moral institution of learning that was propagated by the teaching of the Bible and the prayer in school. There was a time when schools were honored and cherished and revered just as a church should be. I say as a church should be because there are not many churches who are upholding that standard, but that's for another day. We're on the subject of children, and we need our children. That's our future. That is who we are looking forward to. That is the next president and the next congressperson and the next secretary of state. Those are these children that we're raising up right now. These are the ones who are amoral because the school system is promoting an amoral attitude. The school system is promoting an amoral consciousness within our children. And if we do not do something about it, as far as Christian believers, as far as strong believers, and dealing with our congressmen and dealing with the Supreme Court, we need to reinstate the school prayer or some form of biblical learning back into the school system, starting at least in the elementary school system. If not necessarily for kindergarten, but at least in the elementary school system, there should be some form of biblical learning which tells the truth. because if you look at the school system and what they're teaching our children, they're teaching them a great deal of lies. Even though they're teaching how to read, write, spell, and arithmetic, they're teaching them a great deal of lies about our history. They're denying them the truth about our history because the Bible is the greatest history book there is. And if they're not teaching from the primary history book, how can they be telling the truth to the children when they're eliminating 5,000 years? They're eliminating 5,000 years of teaching that has been proven. They're eliminating 5,000 years of teaching that is scientific fact. The Bible has been proven over and over again, or portions thereof have been proven over and over again to be scientific. Even the Jewish settlement that we now know was created based upon what is written in the Bible, in Daniel and in Hebrews. The Jewish settlement in the Middle East right now, that land was taken from the people who were there, the indigenous, and given to the Jewish people who were the descendants of the Hitler Holocaust. This is why we have such a prominent knowledge of that Holocaust situation, because they justify the Jewish community actually having this land. And even though it is written in the Bible, yes, it is. This is what I'm saying. But this is not taught in school. This is not explained as a biblical fact in school, when in fact this was the main basis for them having the United States, England, France, and other countries come to their aid in order to capture this land and set up the Jewish state of Israel as it is known right now today. So even though the school system is teaching our children the basics of learning, they're also denying them the true facts of not only history, but where our counting system is originated from, and other facts of life that they need to know. And back to my original point, the moral depravity that is being lost in the school system right now today is actually creating a system of oppression. We as believers, we pray for oppressed countries. We pray for third world countries because we can see how other base religions are restricting Christianity in those countries. But if we look at the truth of the matter right here in America, they're oppressing our children from the very set go. We're living in a state of oppression, over religion oppression and repression right here in the United States of America. And we're supposed to be the leaders. We're supposed to be the country of the brave. We're supposed to be the country of the free. So why can't our children learn what we teach them at home to be morally correct in school? Why are we being denied the facts that are coming through our own heritage, that are coming through our own beliefs, that are coming through the word that we follow as true believers, that here is the fact, here is the truth. And everyone doesn't have to believe in God in order to be taught what the word says. Everyone doesn't have to believe in God in order to read historical facts. Everyone doesn't have to believe in God in order to make a true choice in life. You cannot give them a true choice in life if you're not showing them the original choice. All choices come from the Bible. The Bible was written so that people can make choices. God gave us the freedom of choice. He gave us free will. He gave us the ability to do things. And this is why our children are being denied. I want to thank everyone for the program tonight. Thank you, Chaplain Huston and Chaplain Griffith, Shalia Griffith. Thank you all so much for inviting me onto your program. I look forward to speaking to you all again. To God be the glory, and may He bless you all always. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
We just want to thank Chaplain Artis Johnson, even though he came on late. I think it was a very interesting discussion, and I thank God for him. And I just want to say a word of prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said. Let the anointing of your Holy Spirit just take full control. Lord, we thank you for Chaplain Artis Johnson. Let your Holy Spirit guide him continually and help him to be all that you would have him to be. Bless him, Lord. And for all those who are hearing this program, let your Holy Spirit minister to them. Those who may not be even doing anything about their children, letting them go the way they should, let them understand that they need to take a responsibility for their children.
Amen.
We thank you for this program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you?